Welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the Collector Segment, Episode 26. This is a week where I only bought two older issues and then some fairly current prestige format issues. So I'm still getting that 50% discount, so it helps a lot. So I got a 10-cent Batman. It's Batman number 120. It's featuring the airborne Batman, and it has Batman and Robin on whirly jets, and it looks really interesting because it looks like Batman's feet are really jacked up. Like, he looks like he's had some kind of injury of some sort, and they're dumping like sand on a bunch of criminals, and it says the criminals are saying, "You said we didn't have to worry about Batman because he's injured." And the other guy says, "How'd I know he'd be operating from a one-man copter?" So, really cool issue. We also have another 10-cent issue, which is Detective Comics 214. This one, it has, like, Robin Hood on the cover, and he's shooting an arrow. And Batman's on the arrow. And it looks like it's Robin Hood is in the top of a movie theater. Like, it's one of those icons, and somehow he's shooting an arrow, and Batman's hanging onto the arrow to hit some criminals, and Robin's already on the building with the criminals, and the criminals are saying, "Hey, I don't see anything in this book on how to handle a situation like that." That's the criminals saying that. It's pretty funny. So those are the two that were purchased that week. And then as far as the prestige format books go, I got, several months ago, I bought a Real World's Wonder Woman because I am a Wonder Woman fanatic. And I knew we were doing this Gotham by Geeks, and I ran across Batman Real Worlds, and I cover this in a future episode of Gotham by Geeks. A matter of fact, we just recorded it yesterday. And I really enjoyed it. I've already read it. I'll talk about it in a future episode. But I also read... I purchased Real World's Justice League of America and Real World's Superman. So those are books in the prestige format that I bought. Another one I bought was Batman and Demon, A Tragedy. It's by Alan Grant and Jim Murray, and on the back it says it's a tale of love, betrayal, and ultimate redemption. A murderous beast is stalking the streets of Gotham City and the dreams of Bruce Wayne. Unless the handsome young millionaire can learn what connects him to the eerie killer, the woman he loves will be lost forever. This sounds really interesting. I almost want to read it right now. This is coming up in a future episode of Gotham Geeks, is Batman Dead on Arrival. I saw this and I didn't own it, and it was by Bob Hall, who was a Shadow Man guy, so he actually did the art and did the story, and I'm really curious to see what this is about. This one says in the back, "With a deadly poison coursing through his system, the Batman is dying, but before he succumbs, he is determined to save a terrified little girl, though it costs him his last breath." So, looks really cool. I got Batman. I got the Batman of Arkham. This is by Alan Grant, Al Santana, and Giddings. And on the back it says, it's from the Journal of Dr. Bruce Wayne, Arkham Asylum, 1900. And it says, "Human beings have a natural taboo against murder. It's something basic in man, something in the blood that's part of the parcel of being a human being. But some men kill for pleasure. What is the line that these men cross? What turns them from human beings into murderers? I have dedicated my life to trying to answer that question." And it's got like a... I guess this is Bruce Wayne's father. The art looks amazing in this book. Holy crap. This is another book I'll probably be covering soon. Sorry. And then we have Batman Dreamland. Not too crazy about the cover on this one, but I got it because it has Alan Grant and Norm Brayfogle, and I love these guys. And on the back it says, "One is the world's greatest crime fighter, the other is the world's greatest trickster. Together they venture into a place of terrible secrets, hoping to save the world from a plague of madness." And it looks like it's got like Area 51 on the back of the book. So it looks pretty doggone interesting. The art is amazing. Of course, I'm a Breyfogle nut. So another good one. And then the last but not least, I got Batman It's Joker Time from Bob Hall. Mostly because it was Bob Hall. And I'll just leave it at that. But it looks like a Joker story that looks really bizarre. It has to do with like TV maybe. It's Joker Time. Maybe he gets to do a TV show. So those were some prestige format Batman books that I got for that week. Stay tuned as we'll be talking about the books that I read this week. Thank you for listening. Talk to you in a few minutes. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Today, I had a couple of... I took the day off and because I wasn't feeling well. And read quite a few comic books and enjoyed quite a bit of everything I read. And I haven't recorded one of these in a long time because life has been very busy lately. I want to keep going on with this, but I'm falling farther and farther behind as far as recording these. So far to the point where sometimes I forget what some of these things that I've read are. But I just wanted to talk briefly about Flashpoint, because I took the time to watch the Justice League Flashpoint Paradox cartoon. And when this series came out from DC Comics, which kind of led into the New 52, I was like blown away by how epic it was and how real it seemed. Flash trying to save his mom causes a paradox, and he ends up on a different world where the world's at war with Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and they are fighting over kind of like they had like a love affair, and Wonder Woman killed Mera, and it caused a war between Atlantis and Themyscira. And that's kind of like the back plot. And then there's a rebellion, and there's a resistance, and the team, you know, Flash is trying to get his powers back on this new world. Barry doesn't have his powers back, so what he does is he goes to Batman and says, "I need you to try to help me recreate this thing." And in this world, Batman is not Bruce. It's his father, Thomas Wayne, which is amazing. And he's dark. He's got guns. He owns casinos. It's a different world. And he's willing to kill people. A matter of fact, he throws Yo-Yo off of the building. Yo-Yo is like a Harlequin knockoff. And to kill her, but Cyborg saves her. And the series is just amazing. This is an amazing cartoon. And if you watch the ending when Flash is able to bring the letter back from the other world from his father to Bruce, it's just it's really heartfelt. I love this series. It was so well done in an animated style. And well executed, just like the comic book. The comic book has so much more details that you miss in the animated, but they capture the essence pretty well, and I highly recommend it. But having said that, let's jump into the weekly reads for March 21st, 2016, to March 27th, 2016. So we have Imperium. Oh, no, I'm starting at the top. What the hell am I doing? So let me refresh the grades. I had a comment from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. I'll talk a little bit about it. He asked me, like, why I rate comics the way I do, you know, with the granularity that I do it, if most of them are fours and fives and very few threes, like, how do I tell the difference? Or should I go, like, with higher grades such as, eight, you know, minuses or pluses or, you know, like 4.5 or 4.9 or something like that? And my response to him is, I love the simplicity of the Netflix rating. Because the way I look at something is, I like it, I really like it, or I love it. And it's that simple. And as far as like how it gets ranked from, you know, bottom to top in the order that I enjoy it. So, yeah, I've thought about changing it, but I just love the simplicity of the Netflix rating, and I want to keep it. So that was to answer a Twitter question. And, like, the ratings go is 5 is love it, 4 is really like it, 3 is like it, 2 is did not like it, and 1 is hated it. And there's not too much things I hate or don't like, and that's the reason is because I can find something usually in every comic book that has some historical significance or there's some element of it that I like. And very few times is there something that I cannot get out of it. Even the stuff I hate, I think it's significant because it's historically there and I need to know about it. At least I feel I need to know about it. So here we go. It was a week that week. I've had a lot of weeks where I haven't read a lot. It's because of business travel and work and other events happening on the weekends, and I can't read, and that's usually when I get the bulk of my reading done, is Friday night. Saturday morning is the heavy loader, and Saturday night, and then Sunday I do some reading more in the evening. But Sundays turn into a comic book maintenance day because of the sheer volume of comics that I get. The other thing I wanted to address is Rob Krieger asked a question on Facebook. I had done a live, what do you call it, a Facebook Live thing where I recorded my database, and he asked some questions about the scanner. And the scanner is really, really nice, especially if you get like 50, 60 books a week and you just want to get them inventoried. I just scan them all in. The only thing that he asked about, like, how does it work with variant issues? Well, I get a lot of variants on DC side. Like, I got the John Romita Jr., and it recognizes them right away. There are times, though, where it'll scan in one and say, well, which cover is it? You know, and you get to select it. The only time I've had issues with scanning issues is usually IDW for some reason, and you'll notice that the IDW barcode for some reason is, it looks distinctively different than, it looks more like a supermarket or a book scan, or I don't know, it looks different. I can only get like half of the IDWs to read correctly. It's very weird, but that'll answer another question. And is that it does do variants. Like Valiant, like if you get Valiant variants, it recognizes all of them except for the ones that are not in there for whatever reason, because nobody entered them. Because you will get like various variants that are so rare that you have to enter them. And like Kickstarters don't show up there. You have to enter them in manually. I'll take a drink. So having said that, let's start. We'll go through these really quick. I want to do these really quick. I might even go through the next set because I want to try to catch up eventually. But this week only had 23 comic books for March 21st through the 27th. And you can see how far behind I am. We're already in May. But I will try to, if my health stays good and everything, I'll try to crank out a bunch of these, record them, and that way I have them sitting there. But we have Moon Knight Volume 7, number 13 through 17, as a 3 out of 5. I enjoyed them, but they were the weakest of the Moon Knight series in the last volume. Actually, it's the second to the last volume, the pen, because the new volume started with Jeff Lemire, and that started off with a bang. That I love the continuous story telling of Moon Knight, so these one done in one stories weren't as big with me, and Cullen Bunn wasn't as good as Warren Ellis, in my opinion. But they had some redeeming qualities in them. I'm glad I read them. So they were 3 out of 5s. We had Moon Knight Volume 5, which goes back a ways. It was a book I didn't read, and I got onto this Moon Knight kick. I was like, damn, I want to read more Moon Knight. And I knew I hadn't read this one, so I read Moon Knight Volume 5, number 30. And it was a really good series. It was refreshing to read that after reading one-shots, in my opinion. We had Wrath of Eternal Warrior, number 5. This was the best Wrath I think I've rated. This has been my least favorite incarnation of Eternal Warrior, and I really can't explain why, other than for me it just is not hitting any notes for some reason. But it's a well-put-together comic book, and I really do enjoy it. It's just nothing. I think the other ones I've been giving 3 out of 5s, at least a few of them. So we got Archer and Armstrong, The Adventures of Archer and it's called A&A, The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong. This has the new writer, it seems just about as zany as they take an adventure into Armstrong's satchel, which is like another world in itself. And it is a pretty doggone good read. So if you like Archer and Armstrong, I think you'll enjoy this. I'm behind in Valiant in general now, because I've been on such a DC kick that I've fallen significantly behind. But Archer and Armstrong, we reviewed on Geek Brunch, and we both enjoyed it quite a bit. Then we got Moon Knight Volume 7. This was the prior to the Brian Wood, number 11 and 12. These were the issues that I missed reading with Brian Wood writing, and this was continuous storytelling, and I like this stuff so much better. And then we had Volume 6, number 3 through 9. This was the Brian Michael Bendis crazy-ass Moon Knight that thought he was the whole Avengers team there. And we had the death of a major character. At least to me, it's a major character, because it was a female character that was an Avenger. But if you said she was an Avenger under Bendis's watch, so let me make that clear. I was surprised to see that happen, but that was a 4 out of 5. Legends of Tomorrow, a fantastic debut. What really led off for me was Metal Men. I just thought that story was fantastic. The Firestorm one was good. The Sugar and Spike one was good. Very different. And it turned out to be a really good issue. It's an expensive one. I think it would have been better if they would have divided these comics, at least sales wise, because, like, yeah, Sugar and Spike might not have sold, but I think if you like looked at the numbers for this anthology versus the numbers that they could generate with 4 separate titles, I think the 4 separate titles, if you added them all up, would have more dollar and more amount sold than if you put them into an anthology, because an anthology kind of scares people off, because of they're scared of trying all 4 stories and only liking one, or, you know, something like that. But I love shit like this, because it's not mainstream heroes, and I love when they focus on characters that, you know, that we don't get to see too often. And then they had Metamorpho, which is kind of like a retelling of his origin and his relationship with Sapphire. And it was really good. I think that one was Aaron Lopresti. But really enjoyed this stuff. And Jerry Conway was on his creation, so that was pretty cool. So what else we got? We got Batman 232 and 242 through 244. Those were for Gotham by Geeks. So if you want to hear more about them, turn into those podcasts. I think that particular episode is already out. Matter of fact, I'm positive it's already out. And then we get into the 5 out of 5s. This means I loved it. We are Robin. The Jokers are trying to cause chaos in Gotham. And Duke is trying to reassemble a team that's very disbanded from everything that happened at a Robin War. And this is an amazing series. I highly recommend it. It's a shame that it will probably be forgotten in terms of that this title existed, because DCU wasn't, you know how they had like a DCU, which is still the New 52. They relaunched some books out of there. It wasn't considered a real big success, but it had a lot of gems, and this was one of them. This was a wonderful series. Highly recommend We Are Robin. And then we had Imperium 14, and this is just a masterful series. It is dense. When you read Imperium, you read a comic book that has a lot of substance. Like I actually read it and I feel like, man, that was really worth every penny I spent on that. And it's hard to say that because comics are so goddamn expensive. You know, you look at stuff and you say, well, I could finish reading that in 15 minutes, sometimes 5. It depends on how the story is told. But Imperium makes you think. And it's a wonderful, complicated series because Harada, even his allies, are not his allies, but they're working with him for some reason, mostly because he's controlling them in some form or fashion. And I just love Imperium. So I'm going to go ahead and end this one episode and maybe start another one. But thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Leave feedback at the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Please leave an iTunes review if you haven't already. We've had a few more come in, and I really, really, really appreciate that. Let's see. You could go to Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button and follow the episode threads there for Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch, and Geek Brunch Retro, which is hopefully making a return this weekend. We just have had some bad weeks where I'm here, but Chris isn't, and Chris is, and I'm not. And I've been gone a lot away from home. So I haven't been able to record. Plus, I've lost my computer wireless device. It stopped working. And it seems like it's software because it's the you could see it's a software enabler, so it's really bizarre. So I'm gonna either have to get that working again by restoring an old version, or something, or get a new computer. But that's it. And send email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. And if you have any comments, let me know. And you can Twitter me at Mike Myers Brunch. Thank you for listening. Good night.